So when persecution or affliction arises because of the Bible, they're out. And he specifically mentioned tribulation. Tribulation is going to do one of two things. It's either going to stabilize those who are really God's people, or it's going to trouble them so much that they'll leave. And then there will be a clear difference between who is and who isn't. And then he said, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, not brings forth his own fruit. He bears the fruit that the vine gives it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Again, it doesn't matter how big your church is. Rick Warren made a big deal about that. The reason why you don't have anybody come into your church, the reason why you only have 30 in your church, it's because you don't do this, and you don't play rock and roll music, and you don't have coffee shops, and you let them, you make them dress up, and all this nonsense that he made up. Well, who said that a 1,000-member church is a righteous church to begin with? Who said that? God didn't. God said there could be just 30 people in there, but I'm the one who put the 30 in there. Better off that way, isn't it? Are you starting to get a different idea now of what tribulation is? And to think that the 7-year tribulation that they somehow came up with was all about God pouring out his violent, angry wrath upon all of those who are not saved. Does that sound like what he's doing here so far? No. Because the same tribulation or persecution that fell on the stony ground people is the same tribulation that fell on the ones who bore fruit. It's just that they had roots in them deep enough to be able to endure that tribulation and that persecution, and they still bore fruit.
I have two books in my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to mamby-pamby land where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you, not quite live, but live enough, from a top secret broadcasting bunker here in Area 52. This is Pastor Mike. And a little bit of a rough day today, which, you know, is to be expected. The devil's hit us in just about every way possible. My son, my oldest son, informed us yesterday afternoon that he tested positive for the COVID virus. So we have him and his family in quarantine. And, of course, he was here Sunday. We're not sure when he contracted it.
But so far, no one else in our church has shown any signs, any symptoms, anything like that. And we are grateful for that. We're just kind of being cautious, especially since what happened back in September when we basically shut our whole church down for almost a month. And I really don't want to do that again. So if, you know, I came in the other day coughing, and I just said, I'm staying away from everybody just in case. And that's the thing. If I have, you know, if I have the flu or I have some kind of bowel, you know, virus, or if I have COVID, I'll be sick. And some people are saying, you know, if I get it, I get it. But you are contagious. And you have to think about the welfare and the benefit of other people. And so he notified us when he found out yesterday. And if you were watching our service last night, our church service, right as we were going into our prayer time, Brother Roy was notified by phone that his wife, who is in a nursing home, was taken to the ER. We didn't know what that was about. We now know a little bit more about it. She fell there at the nursing home, and I guess, you know, procedures, especially in some of the better nursing homes, are different than in others. There used to be a nursing home here by the church, not too far from the church, that we would, you know, they would take us kids in there every Christmas to sing Christmas carols. I hated going because the smell of urine and feces was so bad in that place. I mean, it was an awful, terrible place. They tore it down. And thank God that, you know, some of these nursing homes, some, not all, seem to be doing or trying to do a little bit better job. But anyway, she fell last night, so their protocol is send her to the hospital to get her checked out. She does not have any broken bones or anything like that, but she has had a complaint about her left arm for years. So they saw something there. They are going to have a cancer doctor. Bonnie has a history of cancer. They're going to have a cancer doctor look at what's going on with her left arm. So it could be a blessing in disguise that if they find something there, they can treat it early and she can continue to move on and do well. So anyway, continue to pray for Roy and Bonnie, and pray for my son Matthew and the rest of our church. I've been asking around. I don't know of anybody currently in our church that has any symptoms of COVID or, you know, has been tested positive or anything like that. So we're thankful for that, and we're just hopeful and praying that it doesn't turn into another situation like we had last year. I mentioned last night during the service a letter that Sister Connie Burks from Arkansas, her and her husband, Brother Lonnie Burks. Lonnie was the pastor of the Oak Lane Free Will Baptist Church there. They had the camp meeting every spring. We used to go down there, had a wonderful time. I mean, God just sent men to preach messages, and Brother Lonnie would have me and give me 2 hours on Saturday, and Brother Mike gave me 2 hours this last year. Brother Mike Hutzel now is the pastor there. Brother Burks has retired from his position as pastor of the church, and he's just sort of doing evangelism and running a mule on a farm, and I love that about him. But Sister Connie asked me if I had heard about a man by the name of Marcus Grody and a group called the Journey Home. And I said, no. And she said, well, I'm going to send you this letter. And I said, yes, please do, because I've been dealing with this. And I told her that I have been dealing with an issue in the Watchman broadcast about the Catholic Eucharist. And the letter starts out, it's a fundraising letter is what it is. And it's all about, we need your money, man. We've got to save these. We've got to save Protestant ministers from Jesus Christ. We have to save them from going to heaven. We have to bring them under the Catholic Church so they can all die and go to hell. I mean, he doesn't say that, but that's what I see here. The letter starts out, the church sex scandal in the priesthood shook the church to its foundation and shocked Americans everywhere. Yet, 1,208 former Protestant pastors have converted to Catholicism despite the scandal. So, what are you saying? Are you saying that because these Catholic priests got away with molesting children, that 1,208 American Protestant pastors decided that if they joined the Catholic Church, they also could get away with molesting children? Because that kind of, to me, that's what it sounds like to me. I mean, that's how you started the letter. Each one of these pastors faces a severe personal crisis if they convert. Loss of career, friends, financial security. They also encounter another scandal in the church that no one's talking about. Dear fellow Catholic, let me briefly introduce myself to you. I'm Marcus Grody, a former Protestant minister who converted to Catholicism in 1992. We were told we had a family here that knew of a Baptist minister that left a fundamental independent Baptist King James only Bible believing church to become a Catholic lay priest, allowing him to still be married, but allowing him to become a Catholic lay priest. Now, and here's the thing that you have to reconcile. Some, not all, independent fundamental Baptist churches believe once prayed, always saved. So how do they figure this guy? Do they say, well, he's saved, he's still going to heaven, but he won't get the rewards that I'll get? Is that how they reconcile that? I mean, I don't understand it. And then he said, to help other Protestant ministers come home to Rome. I founded the Coming Home Network International in 1993. By God's grace, over 1,208 ministers, pastors, have converted to Catholicism. You may have heard some of these conversion stories in my weekly television program, The Journey Home on EWTN, but other more Protestant pastors every week seek our help to make their journey home. You'd think the sex scandal in the priesthood would hinder these Protestant ministers. No, what you're doing, in my opinion, you're inviting over the sex pervert Protestant ministers to the Catholic Church because they know there they'll get protected. I mean, doesn't that sound like what this letter is saying? He's saying you'd think that, you know, that with this big sex scandal in the Catholic Church that, you know, we wouldn't have anybody convert. But now we've had over 1,500 men convert. Of course. You've told them that if they're perverts, they can come over and they get automatically protected by the Catholic Church. They'll get shuffled around so nobody can keep up with them. Go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And the church can move a priest from one nation to another nation to where if he molests children in one nation, they can move him to a nation where it is nearly impossible to get that priest extradited back to the United States of America. It's absolutely sickening here. Amen. So anyway, there was a part of this letter that just really got me. when I read this, and I read the entire thing. Here's the true story about the scandal nobody's talking about. And he says, Fred, a Lutheran minister, and he's not giving his last name, but I think his last name would be like Flintstone. Fred Flintstone. A Lutheran minister became convinced he had to become Catholic. He knew he could no longer continue leading his congregation in their Lutheran sacraments. He went to the nearest Catholic parish for help. Incredible as it sounds, the parish told him, since Vatican II, you no longer need to convert. You should stay where you are. Now, I do believe that. I do believe that. I believe that since Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council in 1963, they developed a mission using the Jesuit orders, the Dominicans, and others to infiltrate and take control of the large mainline denominations and bringing them under the umbrella of Rome, so that if you are a certain type of minister, let's say an evangelical Lutheran, or United Church of Christ, or whatever, they've already made agreements with Rome. And Rome will say, just stay where you are. Keep saying what you're saying to them, because it's pretty close to what we're going to say anyway. We're both telling the same lies, so just keep doing it. But this guy says it's outrageous that even some members of the hierarchy are teaching this very same error, that it's no longer necessary for Protestants to come home to the church. Wrong! The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, basing itself on Scripture and tradition. Now, what did Jesus say about tradition? He told the Jews that you have made the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. And that is exactly, the Catholic Church is basically an extension of Judaism at the time of Christ. Because they didn't really believe the Bible as the final authority on everything, even though God gave it to them that way. They didn't really believe it that way. They believed that the final authority on everything was what the Sanhedrin said, or what the high priest said, or what the council said, but not what Moses said. Because you would misunderstand Moses anyway. You would not, if you read Moses, you wouldn't understand a word he said. And yet Paul loves young Timothy enough to tell him that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation. He said, as a child, you were reading Moses. And you were understanding salvation by way of Moses and the Old Testament, the holy scriptures. So, one of the statements that he makes in here is, let's see here. Yeah, it's underlined. The fundraising letter says, how can I say no when a Protestant minister asks for help? And of course, Marcus Grody says, right now I have dedicated full-time staff that works with Protestant ministers and others who are on the journey to Rome, but our work would come to a screeching halt without the prayerful and financial support of friends like you. And, you know, the rest of it just sounds like it's a money-raising letter. We need your money. We need more money. In fact, we need more money than the money that you sent in last week. We need more of it this week. You see, there's a steady stream of Protestant pastors and lay people who are examining the Catholic Church. Why? Because they're disenchanted with their own denomination and have fallen in love with the beauty and the truth of the church. Let me examine that phrase for a minute. They've fallen in love with the beauty. Now, here is what Solomon said. Proverbs chapter 6. Let me put that up on the screen for you. Because he nails it. The strange woman, the evil woman. Let me back up a little bit. He says, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. He's talking about the Bible, the written word of God. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. That's the Vatican. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now, two things about this. Peter talks about, and Jude talks about this, that the false prophets of the last days have eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin. Number one, a lot of church pastors are so enveloped in internet porn. It's not even funny. They have eyes full of adultery. Their eyes are filled every day with new images to look at. And they are incapable of ceasing from sin. That's one aspect of it. The other one is that when us guys who pastor small churches, and we drive by these churches whose auditoriums we know they can hold at least 5,000 people. And we drive by these churches and we look at the magnificent, beautiful, new, multi-million dollar worship center. It's not a church. It's not a church. It's not a revival center. It's not a Brush Arbor. It's a worship center. We look at those, us pastors look at those churches and we lust after the beauty of those buildings. I've done it. I've said, boy, I wish I could have a church building like that. Boy, that would be nice. Woo. Man, no wonder people go to that church. That's a nice looking church. And do you see the catch in that? They're lusting after the outward appearance of that church. And lusting is covetousness. It's idolatry. And it's being used to draw people in. So he says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And, you know, that look, when you see a pretty woman and you glance at her and she glances back at you and you make that eye contact, that's a eye full of adultery. Because when you look away and then you look back to see if she's looking back at you, if there was no one around, you could make a hookup there. And both of you know it. I mean, I'm being dead honest. This Bible is right. This Bible warns us about lust of the eyes and having eyes full of adultery and falling for the beauty. And this guy is selling it. You see, there's a steady stream of Protestant pastors and lay people who are examining the Catholic Church because they are disenchanted with their own denomination and have fallen in love with the beauty of the church, the beauty of it. There is no ugly Catholic Church. The icons, the gold, the candles, the liturgy, everything about the Catholic Church is meant to draw you in with lust of the eyes, and then lust of the flesh, and then the pride of life. Everything about her does that. So then here's what he says next. These Protestants also recognize why a religion based on the Bible alone isn't enough. That's why we need to maintain and expand our outreach. They said it. They said it in no uncertain terms that a religion that's based solely on the Bible, according to them, is a false religion. And yet, what did our beloved Apostle Paul say to that? In fact, I saw something in Ezekiel in my Bible reading this morning. I'm really enjoying having my Bible reading every day. I really am. I'm really enjoying it. I'm seeing things that I've learned years ago, and I know more now than I did then, and I'm learning new things about it. What did Paul say to Timothy? That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16 is God was manifest in the flesh. But 2 Timothy 3:16, if you back up a little bit to verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so, the good works that comes to the person's life who believes in God will come from the Word of God. The doctrine that he learns must only come from the Word of God, period. No other source does he say that from. Let me see here. I'm trying to lower the temperature in this room a little bit here. Sun's out, making it warm in here. Now, to me, that stuff, when I look at that stuff, that's bogus. That's easy. I can look at that, and in 5 minutes' time, I can show you everything that's wrong with that letter. And it basically, it's a guy trying to raise money for his organization from which he is the head of the organization, meaning he gets paid from it. He's going to get a cut now of every dime that's donated in. He, as the president of the company, gets paid by that company. And if he does well in convincing people to give more money, and there are very rich Roman Catholics, very rich Roman Catholics, who are diehard Roman Catholics, and they want other people to be Roman Catholics. So a guy comes along like this, you need a check for $1 million? Sure, I'll write you a check for $1 million. He knows people like that. He's fundraising. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I'm going to play a video. Let me see. I have to set this up here. Because I have to make sure that I'm not going to play any audio because I think it has some vulgarity on it. Now, as you know, I've been studying the scriptures. And I have removed myself from watching stuff like this. I found it is an absolute necessity that I do. Because just in the little bit of, well, I don't want to say this, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But, you know, I told you my story when I preached at Pea Ridge, Arkansas, and I preached again in Harrison, Arkansas, and I've mentioned it here on this show multiple times. I had to get away from the news watching every day. The Drudge Report, the Liberty Daily. I quit watching videos on BitChute. And accounts on BitChute are accounts of people who were kicked off YouTube for one reason or another. YouTube won't let them back on. As you know, I had a strike against my channel. And I appealed that strike and won the appeal. Because they accused me of making false statements about the COVID virus. And what I was doing was I was exposing false statements about the COVID virus. When I told them to actually listen to what I said, and somebody did, they reversed it. They took the strike off my channel, and I can still preach the gospel on YouTube, and I intend to do so. Now, a new thing has come up. And in spite of me, and it's not just from one person. So the person, one person that I wrote back to today, I don't want you to feel bad. And I don't want you to think I'm talking mean to you or anything like that, because others have sent it to me. And what have I been telling you? I've been telling you and asking you to quit watching everybody's video on Facebook, YouTube, BitChute, you name it. Quit watching all this stuff. So it was only 8 minutes long. There's 8 minutes worth of Bible reading that you didn't do. 8 minutes worth of Bible meditation that you did not accomplish. That took precedent in your life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a video for you, just the video, and I'll explain it as I'm going along, but I'm not going to play the audio because it has some vulgarity in it. And this is what I want you to understand. These people are very vulgar. I mean, they're dropping F-bombs and S-bombs and all of this stuff. What does that tell you? It tells you they're not born-again, Bible-believing Christians. And there is now, I don't have an answer to what's happening. But let me play the video. All right. I just wanted to make sure that the audio was not sounding. Supposedly, this person here just got a COVID vaccination. Now, we don't know that for sure. You can see a red spot on her arm, and they're taking a magnet and they're sticking the magnet up to where she got the shot. And the magnet is sticking. One of the poles of the magnet, don't know if it's the south pole or north pole of a magnet. Magnets have poles to them, south and north, positive and negative. And one of the sides of the magnet is sticking to the arm in the place where she got the injection from. And here's another woman. Same thing. She's showing you that a magnet sticks to one arm. And it doesn't stick to the other arm. Here's another one. There's a lady that's going to stick this to her arm, claiming there's no glue on it. I don't know. Now, this guy here, all he's doing is showing you his COVID-19 vaccination card. And he makes a claim. And he doesn't actually show you anything. He doesn't show you his arm. He doesn't show you anything. He just simply says, when the guy injected the needle into his arm and he retracted the syringe, the needle didn't come out. The needle stayed in his arm. And now he's going to use this metal detector on his arm and show you that he's got metal in his arm. Okay? And again, there's no sound because there's a lot of vulgarity on this, and I just don't do that. Okay? But if you would listen to it, you could hear beep, 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 beep. Okay. So now the video's obviously playing again, and I'm gonna take it off the screen. Okay? Now, I did not Google this because I know for a fact that Google does not actually give me the results of what I'm looking for any longer. That much I get. Google censors searches. So if I were to go to the Google website and type in, you know, do magnets stick to COVID vaccine shots? I would get 20 pages of articles of why this can't be true, debunking it. In other words, I wouldn't get an other side of the story. I wouldn't get it, not from Google. So I went to another search engine, using a different browser other than Chrome. And I read some articles, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have an answer for that. Now, the immediate conclusion that people made was, oh no, I just got chipped with the mark of the beast and they're going to track me everywhere I go. Now, that's the conclusion that they made. Okay? They skipped. When you use a scientific process, you don't have a theory and then jump automatically to the conclusion and say, I think the theory is correct. It has to be tested. So I wrote the person who sent me the video this morning, and I said, you probably know some people that have been COVID vaccinated. Take a refrigerator magnet to them and say, can I stick this on your arm and see if it sticks or not? That's all you got to do. I know some people locally who have been vaccinated. I will probably take a refrigerator magnet because some of the videos, that's what they did. They took a refrigerator magnet. They said it's all it takes. These people are claiming now they made the immediate jump to say, I got microchip implanted by the COVID vaccine. Now, the COVID vaccine manufacturers have consistently said we do not have any sort of microchip implantation in our vaccines. That's what they said. So it could be an easy thing that you could do. If you know somebody that's been vaccinated, just take a fridge magnet and ask them politely, can I stick this on your arm where you were vaccinated? Because I heard there's a rumor on the internet. I want to test it and see if it's true. Film it. Film it. People, I have seen so much video lies on the internet since YouTube came on. I have seen so many of them that I am skeptical. I am automatically skeptical of everything that I see on the internet. And I've made it a point since the election that I have spent way more time in my Bible than I have watching videos like this. Way more time. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to Ezekiel 14. In fact, I'll put it up on the screen for you. Ezekiel chapter 14. I'm studying in Ezekiel now, learning some really, really, really awesome things. In fact, let me put it up on the screen here. Before I read you what's in Ezekiel 14, I'm going to go back and look at chapter 12. And I'm going to ask you the question. Do you believe that the internet has the answers to what is going to happen in the future? Or do you believe the Bible has the answers for what's going to happen in the future? I'm asking, it's a very simple question. Which one do you believe? Do you believe the internet is going to give you all the correct answers as to what is going to happen in the future, including the revelation of the Antichrist, the introduction of the mark of the beast, and so on and so on? Do you believe the internet has the answers, or do you believe the Bible has the answers? And it's a trap question. It's a setup question. Because if you say, of course I believe the Bible has the answers, I'm going to say to you, then why are you spending all your time watching the internet and asking me if these videos are true? When, if you read the Bible, you don't have to ask me, Pastor Mike, I read something in Isaiah 13. Is it true? You don't have to ask me that. You already know it is. You see my point? In Ezekiel chapter 12, get back over there, Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 12, I want you to look in, let's look in verse 23. Starting right here. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. You know what I believe God's going to do? I believe God is going to fire Joel Osteen. God's going to fire him. God's going to put him out of his multi-billion dollar ministry. He's going to fire Joyce Myers. He's going to fire Creflo Dollar. He's going to fire Kenneth Copeland. He's going to get rid of all of these people. He's going to expose them for who they are, because they're the ones who use vain visions and flattering divination in the house of the Lord. They've got everybody convinced that if you think positive thoughts and smile all the time, that God will return, or the universe will return to you positive things, healthy things, wealthy things, and you will live in prosperity and you will live in health so long as you think no negative thoughts, say no negative words like Joel Osteen doesn't. Which prohibits Joel Osteen from preaching a vast majority of the words of the Bible. He cannot preach the Bible. Because Jesus spoke more on hell than he did on heaven. Therefore, Joel Osteen cannot give you a sermon series on the words of Jesus Christ, because the words of Jesus Christ are negative words. Negative, and he believes that. That's the form of Wicca, elemental Wicca. I watched Wonder Woman 84, which was a complete waste of time. It was the lamest, I won't say the lamest movie I've ever seen. Shazam was the lamest movie I've ever seen as far as superhero movies. Wonder Woman was a close second. Wonder Woman 84. And it featured a guy in here who got this power to grant wishes to everybody. And he says to the world, ask your wish, the universe is going to give you what you want. Now, that is pure Wicca doctrine. 100% Wicca doctrine. Because that's what they believe. They believe the universe, through the elements of earth, wind, fire, and water, will give you what it is that you ask for. It's pure witchcraft. But according to this verse, God's going to get rid of the Joel Osteens and the Joyce Meyers and the Kenneth Copelands and the Jesse Duplantises and all of these people. He's going to fire them, and they're going to lose their job. And he said that there will be no more vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak. And look at what he says. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Now again, do you believe the internet's going to give you the truth on what's going to happen? Or do you believe the Bible's going to give you the truth on what's going to happen? And if you believe the Bible's going to give you the truth on happen, then why are you watching the internet? Why are you doing that? Verse 26, again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. I'm not going to delay any longer, God says. I'm going to do it. If the words went out of my mouth, God says, I'm going to do it exactly the way I said it. And you can't stop me. Nothing can stop me. The internet can't stop me. I will do it the way I want to. Now, let's turn to same book, Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14 has a lot in it. And this is where I learned how some people get turned over to a reprobate mind. When I see people that start convincing themselves of totally unbiblical doctrines, it bothered me. Why are they doing this? Why are they acting like this? Completely unbiblical doctrines. And God reminded me of Ezekiel 14. There's a reason why. The Bible says in Ezekiel 14, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. I'll read it off the screen. Saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all of at all by them? In other words, God said they've got idols in their heart. They've covetousness that no man can see. They're coming to you and saying, tell us what God said. And God says, I know that they have idols in their heart. So no matter what I say to them, if I say it, they're not going to believe it. If I actually tell them the truth, they just won't believe it. So he said, therefore speak unto them that, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Now, I would have to say that it's highly possible that I have a few little idols in my heart, and I don't like it. I don't like it. And I ask God, God, take these out of me. I don't want them to be there. I only want to trust you and believe you. But God said, I'm going to speak to them according to the abundance of the idols that are in their heart. Guys that got a lot of idols, then most everything I say to him is going to be a big fat lie. So he says in verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, that say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For everyone of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. So this is how some guys, some ministers who say they've studied the Bible all their life can come out and say, you know, I believe a minister can actually be a homosexual and be in a homosexual sodomite marriage and still be a capable minister of the Word of God. It's because of the idols in their heart. Now, we know that's not true. We know that it denies large portions of Scripture and contradicts it. But they believe that it's true. They believe that God accepts them for the way they are. They can still minister, and they are doing it right now. Churches all over this country. Sodomites on staff. God is allowing it. God is allowing these people to fall for it and their ministry team to be a part of it because of the abundance of the idols that they have set up in their heart. God is letting them be lied to. And he said, and if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, will stretch up my hand upon him, will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And that story goes back to Micaiah. Micaiah, of course, who saw the spirit who said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of Ahab's prophets. And God said, go and do so. And so verse 10, and the people shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. So let me tell you something. Those of you who accuse all preachers of being wrong and evil, you're going to get the same judgment that we are. You are. Because you had a Bible and you refused to believe what it said, just like the preacher did. But you had your own little pet doctrines that you stuck to, that if any preacher violated those, you set them up. And if any preacher violated them, which is most preachers, then you said, he's a false preacher. And I just don't trust any preachers anymore. There are no preachers anywhere that are preaching the truth, which is a lie. It denies what the Word of God said. God said, I will give them pastors. I will. God promised that he would never leave this world without true ministers of his word preaching his word. So you're just, the problem is not that there's no pastors that are preaching the truth. The problem is you've set up so many lies in your mind as false doctrines, but you believe them. That every pastor who tries to expose these as lies, you say, oh, they're lying, they're a false prophet. One guy, he used to make videos against me. He hated my guts. And he would make claims like, I've got 50,000 verses in the Bible that can prove Mike Hargett is wrong. Really? You have 50,000 verses? You have that many verses that where you can prove that I'm wrong? You really? You have 50,000? I don't believe that. Verse 10, they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. The word of the Lord came in. Now, get this now. Instead of you watching COVID vaccine videos, why don't you read your Bible to find out what God's really going to do? Okay? He said, verse 12, the word of the Lord came unto me, again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously. Has America trespassed grievously to God? Oh, yeah. Stretch out mine hand upon them. Then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Now, whether you see this as a literal famine or a spiritual famine or both, either way, God can do it. God can send, he can cause next year. In fact, he could do it this year. God could literally destroy every corn crop, soybean crop, rice crop, wheat crop, cotton crop. Every crop, soybean, everything. Every crop in America, God could absolutely destroy them this year. Which would leave us in a bad way. And if you think there wouldn't be panic at the superstore, there's panic at the superstore. People won't be hoarding toilet paper. They'll be hoarding food. And there'll be none left on the shelves. None. And he said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. God's going to separate out and save those who are right. Guys like Noah and Daniel and Job. But you won't be able to say, well, I'm Noah's second cousin. So surely God's going to save me because I'm Noah's second cousin. Yeah, but you're not Noah. You can't come in on that. You were either righteous like Noah was righteous, you were righteous like Daniel was and Job was, or you weren't. And if you weren't, I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to make you starve to death. Now, it could be that this is a starvation of hearing the words of the Lord, which we know is taking place now. right now. And he said in verse 15, if I cause some noisome beast. Now, I looked up that word noisome. It doesn't mean noisy, like they make a big noise. It means noxious to your health or hurtful, mischief, unwholesome, insalubrious. The word insalubrious means unsafe. The reason why I know that is I looked up the Latin form of the word safety, because I have a theory now about 1 Thessalonians 5, when they shall say peace and safety. Because the Bible never says who they are that's saying it. I think it's the fourth kingdom saying it. We're here to bring peace and safety to this world. The Latin form is pacem for peace and salus, or versions of the word salus for safety. There are other words for safety in Latin, but that was one of them. So the word insalubrious means an unsafe manner. Destructive, as noisome winds, noisome effluvia or miasmata, noisome pestilence, noxious or injurious, offensive to the smell of other senses, disgusting, fetid. Travis Walton said that when he was on the ship that had taken him hostage, the smell in there was horrible. It was like burnt cinnamon. And it's interesting because there's been hundreds of other cases of UFO alien abduction where people said the smell on the ship was absolutely horrible, and they all described it as like burning cinnamon. Said it was terrible. It's hard to breathe. God's going to send, in verse 15, God's going to send noisome beasts through the land. And remember, that word noisome means hurtful, mischievous, unwholesome, destructive, dangerous, offensive to the smell or other senses, disgusting, fetid, injurious. And I believe these beasts are spirits. I believe these beasts are spirits. They're devils. Because and I'll show you why in a minute. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it, which means that they steal everything that they find in there. Now, you know, let's say that he let monkeys come through, and what would monkeys do with all your stuff? Nothing. But what other kind of beasts are there? There are spirit beasts. And they're literally going to rid the people. They're going to spoil them. They're going to steal all their stuff, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. And I believe these devils, these spirits, have a beast mind. Is that they don't care about humans. They don't care a lick about, hey, don't hurt him. He's a child. Don't hurt this man. He's an old man. They don't care about that. God said, if I send noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered because the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver. He's talking about Noah, Daniel, and Job. They shall neither deliver their sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Just because your daddy or your mama or your cousin or whatever is a serious Christian, you're not going to ride along with them. You're not going. You're not going to be saved. God is going to let the sword come through the land and cut you off. Or then he said, look at this. If I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast. A pestilence is any kind of, like when you have locusts coming through or you have an invasion of rats and rats spread disease, like viruses and plagues and the Wuhan meat markets, wet markets, where people are eating bats, and that's where they said we got the Wuhan virus. I don't believe it. But pestilence is coming through that we have no way to stop them. And you have more people worried about the vaccine for a pestilence than you actually do the pestilence. And God said, I'll send the pestilence. I'm going to send a pestilence through this land to kill as many people as I can. And he said, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. For thus, now notice this. Thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. And he says, man and animals. All of our dogs, cats, cattle, lambs, horses. God says, I'm going to send these four sore judges. What does that four tell you? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what that four means. And he's telling you that these are spiritual entities that he's going to send into the land to destroy the land. You're chasing your tails, watching all these videos and all these conspiracy theories. You have no idea whether they're true or not. My advice to you is get back in the Word of God. And when God starts showing you how he's going to do it, that stuff won't affect you anymore. You won't care. You won't give it the attention that they want you to pay to it. Because remember, if they can scare you with this video, you're going to share it with 1,000 people and the numbers are going to go up and they're going to make money off of it. That's why they do it. He said, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you and you shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. Even though God is got some mean, awful things coming to this world, and I'm not, the video that I showed you, I'm not convinced either way that they're true or not true. I'm telling you, I have seen too many fake videos that pop up like mushrooms in the woods, and then by the end of the day, they're all gone. and all the things that the internet lied about. You remember the boxes that the government gave us when we all had, you know, our old TVs that didn't have the digital, could not, you know, receive a digital signal. So the government sent all these boxes out to our homes, and one guy opens it up on a YouTube video and he says, look at there, there's a camera and a microphone aimed in there. There, it's the government sending this to me to listen to what I'm doing in my house. And I bought two of them, or I got two of them, and I took them apart. I didn't find a camera in mine. That guy lied. That guy lied. But I remember that it made an uproar on the internet. People were going, well, I'm not getting one of them devices and putting them on my TV so they can watch and hear whatever I do and say in my own house. But 2 years ago on Black Friday, you went out and bought you a 72-inch LED screen, high-resolution 8K television. And guess what? Built into it is a camera and a microphone that you can't see, where they are hearing and watching and listening everything you do and say in your living room because you hooked it up to the internet. See, you did it on, you did it voluntarily. You did it knowing that it was on there, because you can give voice demands now to your TV or to your remote or whatever. You can do all kinds of things now that you couldn't do before. And so I'm just telling you, some of you are chasing your tails. Now, the person who sent me the video, they're asking me my opinion of it, and I wrote them back and said, I don't know why, but it looks like all of these vaccine marks are fresh. I don't know why a magnet is sticking to them, if even that's what's going on. I don't know what's going on here. But I'm not making the jump, the immediate conclusion, that all of a sudden they got chipped without knowing it, and they're unwilling participants in the system of the mark of the beast. Because I do not believe that, because the Bible does not tell that. And after all, if you are truly born again, what do you have to be afraid of? What do you have to be afraid of? If you drink any poison thing, Jesus said, I won't let it kill you. You can tread on serpents and scorpions, and I will not let them kill you. And all of the power of the enemy will have no power over you whatsoever. So what are you concerned about as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian when you believe the Word of God above everything else? What is it that you can possibly fear? The Lord is my life. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Bible says. I'm telling you, you just don't have to live in fear on this stuff. You just don't have to do it. So, thank you for bearing with me today. It's been good to be with you for a little while. Thank you for praying for our church. Like I said, we got one person now with COVID again. We're doing everything that we can to avoid what happened last September and October. And I think it's a very isolated situation, which makes me happy. So pray for us again, okay? Pray for our ministries in Kenya. We finally got a shipping container. We're going to have it delivered and set up. And then we'll start feeding people again. And if you want to get involved in that, prayerfully, financially, whatever, may the Lord bless you for doing that. And thank you for keeping us in mind, because that's where our heart is. It's in saving those people, giving them the gospel and giving them the food so that they can have life here and that they can have eternal life.